Most of us are well aware of the story of the Good Samaritan. Is it off the screen there? Yeah. Okay. A man is taking a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. This road has been called the highway of death. And this poor victim found that to be true. He was set upon by thieves. He was robbed, he was stabbed, he was left to die. You know, all the characters in this parable have a very powerful meaning. That man taking the journey, that represents the sinner. Just going along in life, maybe going down to Jericho for business, pleasure. Maybe he's going to have Thanksgiving dinner with his family. And the thieves represent the powers of the world. The devil that destroy us. And then there came along the priest and the Levite. And they saw this man, they saw his condition. They might have shed a tear or two, but they passed on by. They were too busy, too preoccupied. And that represents organized religion. Organized religion cannot save us. Organized religion may shed a tear. It cannot help us, really. Then comes along the Good Samaritan who represents Jesus Christ. Yes, in this story, Jesus is the Good Samaritan who had compassion on this sinner. He pours in the oil and wine of his love. He bandages his wounds tenderly. Then he puts him on his beast, takes him to the inn, which I call the Inn of Mercy, for being nursed back to health. And so he comes to the inn. He gives the wounded man to the innkeeper after he spends the night. The Good Samaritan spends the night there, takes care of him. And we read in chapter 10 of verse 35, on the morning, the next morning, when the Good Samaritan departed, he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to the innkeeper, "You take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee." We know who the traveler is. That's the sinner. The thieves, agents of the devil. The priest and Levite, organized religion. The Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ. But what about the innkeeper? Well, you have an inn, and that's, you could say, the church, and the innkeeper being the Christian. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are born again, you and myself are the innkeeper. And it is our responsibility to care for those who have been wounded, left to die by the world. It is our responsibility. And Jesus said, "Take care of him. And when I return, whatever you spend, I will repay." The word repay in the Greek is apodidomi. It means to pay, to give, to render, to reward. "When I come again," said Jesus, "I will pay you, I will reimburse you, I will even reward you." You see, when God repays, he rewards. And Jesus said he was coming back. And so when the Samaritan said to the innkeeper, "When I return, when I come back," he's talking about the second coming. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be rewards. Revelation 22:12. Let me show you 2 places where the Greek word apodidome is used as in reward. Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward, apodidomi, is with me." His reimbursement for everything we've lost, for every pain we've suffered, for every tear we've shed, for every dollar we invest in the kingdom of God. Apadidomi. My reward, my reimbursement is with me to give every man or every one according as his work shall be. The other place where apadidomi is used is in Matthew 16:27. Again, referring to the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. We're going to talk about rewards today. And don't think it's selfish to enjoy the teaching that God gives us through his Son, through the prophets, through the apostles about rewards. If it was selfish, he wouldn't mention it. He wouldn't mention it. He wants us to be aware of the fact that God rewards us. Now, I want to ask this question about the innkeeper. The Good Samaritan, or Jesus, said to the innkeeper, that's you and me, I will repay you. So what payment or what reward was the innkeeper to receive? We don't know. But we have a clue here. As the Samaritan said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, I will repay. Whatsoever. The repayment, the reward that we shall receive as we stand before the Lord depends on how much we give, how much we spend, how many tears we shed for other people, how compassionate we have been. Our rewards depend on whatsoever we spend. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38, we see that God is a gracious, generous God. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. When you give, God promises it will be given back to you. How? Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. You see how generous God is. He doesn't just give you back what you lost, but in abundance, like Job. Job lost his children, he lost his businesses, he lost his health, but at the end, when he learned to pray for his friends, God gave him twice as much as he had before. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will he put into your lap. He's going to drop it right into your lap. For with the measure you give, it will be measured back to you. How you forgive other people is how you'll be forgiven by God. How you judge other people is how you will be judged by God. The generosity you have or you don't have will be found out on that judgment day, that maybe you weren't a very generous person. You weren't a very loving, giving person. It'll come back to us on that day. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Apostle Paul says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God is generous. And when the Samaritan handed over that wounded man to the innkeeper and said, whatsoever you spend more than I have spent, more than I have done, I'm only with him one night. Jesus is only here ministering for 3 years. The church has been here for 2,000. Whatsoever you spend more, I will reward, I will repay. Now, what if that innkeeper was stingy? We don't know anything about the innkeeper's personality, just that he was entrusted with this wounded man. What if he was stingy? And he said to himself, I can't have this sick, bleeding, groaning man in my inn. He's going to chase all the other guests away. I'll put him in the barn. Yeah. That's what they did to Mary and Joseph and soon-to-be-born baby Jesus, put him in the stables. But if he was a generous innkeeper, he would say, this man needs all the help I can give him. I don't care if he's in the best room. I don't care if other guests leave because of his groaning. I will be repaid. I will be rewarded. Whatever sacrifice I make, I will be rewarded. If the innkeeper was stingy, selfish, he may say, wow, that's a really horrible-looking bandage and wound. I can't change the bandages. It's too messy. Too time-consuming. I'll just let him lie here and heal himself. But if he was a generous innkeeper, he would say, I need to change those bandages often. I need to make sure there's no infection in that wound. And I know, whatever I spend on bandages, whatever I spend on ointments, whatever I spend in time, I will be repaid. It doesn't matter how much I spend. If he was a stingy innkeeper, he might say, I'm not going to spend anything more than the Samaritans spent. It's good enough. And there are those who say, hey, what Jesus did is good enough for the world. They don't believe, they don't believe. A generous innkeeper would say, I will spend whatever I must to help this poor man back to health. I must give of myself, my time, my energy, my money, until this man stands up on his feet again and is able to walk away under his own power. You and I are the innkeepers. When God repays this innkeeper, he will reward him because he is a generous God. How generous is our Lord? We read in John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The thief, as in the parable, the thief set upon that man, made him their victim, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the Samaritan came, that man might have life, and not just life, but have it abundantly. And when Jesus, or the Samaritan, poured in the oil and wine of his compassion and brought him to the inn of mercy, it was now up to the innkeeper to make sure he experiences the abundant life that Jesus died to give. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It can't get more generous than that. A God who gave his life for the sheep. Oh, David says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Yes, we have a generous God. And on judgment day, when he repays his children, he will reward them. Now unto him, says Paul, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. As innkeepers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we ask our God, we know he's generous. He can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. With that poor man who was wounded, brought to the inn, being cared for by the innkeeper, we hope, when he asked for a sip of water, he got an exceeding abundant drink. When asked for a soft pillow, he got an exceedingly soft pillow. When he was chilled, he asked for a blanket, he got an exceedingly nice, thick, warm blanket. When he was hungry, it was given to him abundantly. And that's how our God gives to us. And that's how we are to give to others. We are to continue bringing them the abundant life. So what rewards? We're going to look at just some of the rewards that God gives us, just a few of them. But first we ask the question, why? Is it enough that we just get to heaven? Pastor Schofield, who's the author of the Schofield Reference Bible, says God's purpose in promising to reward with heavenly and eternal honors to the faithful service of the saints is to win them from the pursuit of earthly riches and pleasures. We are so bound up, so caught up, Church of Jesus Christ, with earthly riches and earthly pleasures. Apostle Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, on those heavenly treasures, not on the things of this earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, said Jesus. Those are the rewards. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where rust and moth consume, where thieves break in and steal. God's purpose, says Schofield, in promising to reward with heavenly eternal honors the faithful service of the saints is to win them from the pursuit of earthly riches and earthly pleasures, to sustain them in the fires of persecution. The Bible says, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him in heaven, the rewards that he will receive for his sacrifice, which are thousands, millions of souls, the praise of the Father and the angels. For that joy set before him, he endured the cross. So Schofield's right when he says that God promised us rewards to sustain his children in the fires of persecution and to encourage them in the exercise of Christian virtues. It's almost an embarrassment to think God has to have us shift our affections off the earth onto heaven by offering us rewards. It does seem selfish, but God knows we need that. And of course, the greatest reward is Christ himself. As the Lord said to Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. But there are many other rewards he gives us. What does God reward? He rewards with the crown of life. He rewards with well done, good and faithful servant. But what are the things that he rewards? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the poor, and he will repay or reward him for his deed. And so if you don't help the poor, if you're not generous to the poor, I'm talking about dropping a quarter in the blind man's cup. Is that generosity? When we have $100,000 in the bank, I'm not talking of myself, only of you. When you have money in the bank or you have possessions that you could sell and get rid of to help the poor. Remember the early church that when the Holy Spirit moved on them, no one said the possessions that they owned were theirs. They belonged to God. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew 25, when he separated the sheep on the left hand from the goats on the right hand, he said to the sheep, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink, etc. When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? If you do it to the least of these, my brethren, the least of these, my creations, you do it to the least of me. But there are Christians, they call themselves Christians, but they're not generous to the poor. As Ebenezer Scrooge said, when a man came for a donation for the poor, aren't there enough workhouses for the children to work in? Oh, friends, there are many suffering people. God rewards us, the innkeepers, who care for the poor. In Proverbs 25, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire, those are the fires of conviction, upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. God rewards compassion. He rewards love. Not ordinary human love, but spiritual love, godly love. That love cannot be attained to feed the enemy, to give bread to those who have hurt us. I remember my first journey to East Germany. While it was still under communism, I was staying with a pastor and his wife, and they were living very close to a Russian military base. He said, I warn you, but at night they shoot tracers off. They do their military training in the backfield, just about half a mile from the house. And sure enough, they were doing that all night long. Tanks were rumbling and guns were firing. And my son Michael was only 5 years old or 6 years old when he went with me there, and we drove past that military base. And we met a couple of young Russian soldiers taking the trash out. Okay. They were going beyond the barbed wire. They were going out into a dump. And we met them. We spoke to them the best we could. And these men were filthy. You could see they weren't eating very well. If you know anything about the Russian military, their rank and file soldiers are the lowest on the scale in Russian society. And the pastor and his wife told me, they said, you know, God led us to go up to the barbed wire fence and sneak food, bags of food, trays of food, to these Russian young men. They're 18 years old, most of them, because they don't have enough to eat. And that's what Jesus meant, if your enemy be hungry. Here was an occupying army. Well, communism, the half of Germany, their secret service, the Stasi, were the most violent and vicious of communist secret service, even more than the KGB in Moscow. And yet, these Christians fed their enemies. I would dread the day when our nation is overtaken by China or Russia. And it doesn't have to be that way. But we don't know what's going to happen. What if you're living in Taiwan? You know, the Chinese church that meets here in the afternoon, they're from Taiwan, immigrated from Taiwan. Their homeland is under constant threat from communist China. And the time may come when they have to look out their door and see that their nation has been invaded and taken over. And what will God demand of those Christians? Feed your enemy if he's hungry. Give him bread to eat. Give him water to drink if he's thirsty. And that's our command to follow also, if it ever happens here. Most of us know the story of Blessed Ruth in the Bible. How she came out of Moab. She married into a Jewish family. Naomi was her mother-in-law. Naomi's husband died. Naomi's two sons died. I mean, one of Ruth's husband died. And Ruth said, "Your God will be my God. I'll go where you go. I'll die where you die, and your God will be my God." She was converted. She was repentant of her idol worshiper. When Naomi tried to send her back to Moab, to the idols, the other sister went, the sister-in-law, Orpha, she went back. But not Ruth. She clung, the Bible says. She clung to Naomi. And when she went back to Bethlehem with Naomi, she gleaned wheat in the field of Boaz, a distant relative. And Boaz said to her these words, recorded in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 12, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded." Notice he uses the word repay and reward. Okay? Because they are in the Hebrew and in the Greek very similar, if not synonyms of each other. "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, whose wings you've come to trust, under whose wings you've come to take refuge." We have no record of Ruth spending any money on Naomi. Just love and kindness. God rewards love and kindness. He rewards it. Exceedingly, abundantly, he rewards it. Okay. And he did. How he rewarded Ruth, Ruth never in her life imagined that she would marry Boaz and become ancestress to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's how he rewarded her, abundantly. King Saul was hunting down David for many years. He was jealous of his rise, that God anointed him to be the next king. And on one particular occasion, Saul and his soldiers, he had thousands of them, were camping in a cave. And they were sleeping, and David came upon them. And David was encouraged by some of his own soldiers to kill Saul. "Here's your enemy, kill him! Slit his throat! Plunge that knife into his heart." David said, "No, I cannot touch the Lord's anointed. He's still king." So he cut off a piece of his skirt to show him later, which he did. "Hey, I was there in that cave with you. And I could have taken your life, but I didn't." And then Saul, upon seeing that little piece of his skirt, his robe, he said, "David, you are more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. As thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, your enemy, the one who is seeking to kill you, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into your hand, thou did not kill me." Notice what Saul said. "The Lord delivered me into your hand, and you didn't hurt me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, David, for that you have done unto me this day." You have let your enemy go. That's why we are to pray for our enemies. The Lord rewards love. He rewards compassion. He rewards forgiveness. For every good work we do, it can even be in the name of a disciple. If you give a glass of cold water in the name of a disciple, you will not lose a reward. So I could give someone a glass of water in your name, if you're a disciple of Christ, and get a reward. He's not saying the saints. He's not saying do it in the name of the saints, but just do it. Okay? And you shall receive a reward. Proverbs 11:18, "The wicked works a deceitful work, But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. To sow righteousness is to do good. To do what is right. That is what righteousness means here. Being persecuted. Being mocked. Being laughed at. Being shunned. Losing your job because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Having loved ones turn their back on you because you love the Lord. And it's probably because you love the Lord more than them. They don't like that. Blessed are you, said Jesus, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which came before. Being reviled, being persecuted, having evil said of us, to be slandered, to be falsely accused, to be sneered at. If we take it patiently, if we rejoice in it, not if we sneer back, not if we mock back, but if we rejoice in it, our reward is exceedingly great. And not only does God reward good deeds, but he has a special favor for good deeds done in secret. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, take heed that you do not your alms, those are the giving of help. Could be money, could be clothing, could be food. Take heed, beware. Don't do it before men to be seen of them. Sometimes you can't help but do it before people. If you're going to feed a poor person, someone might see it. Doesn't mean you can't do it. It is to be seen. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, your good deeds of giving, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And it's really impossible, okay, to not keep your left hand in darkness by what your right hand is doing, because you usually use both hands, okay? I'm just saying here that try to keep it that secret, okay? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your alms may be in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. A few months ago, I told you about a relative of mine. I'll repeat the illustration. He was a very boastful Christian. He used to boast of his good works quite a lot. And one day he came to me in the Fellowship House parking lot and he showed me his lapel. Remember this? Little illustration. I think it was a cross or a dove, and he boastfully said, "You see this?" Paul, he was a lot older than I. "My pastor gave this to me. He brought me before the congregation, and he gave me this pin because I won more souls to Christ this month than anyone else." And then another time, he said, "You know, I was in the hospital and I had all the nurses and doctors around me weeping in tears, repenting of their sins. I led all the nurses and doctors there on this ward to Christ." Now, that might have been true. I don't know. But he was boasting of it. Jesus said, "Don't do your good works to be seen of men, because they have their reward." And I thought, when this relative of mine, he was by marriage, so it's not in my blood. No, it is. It is in my blood too. But it was by his relative by marriage. When he gets to heaven and God's handing out the rewards, if he did not repent of his boastfulness, of his hypocritical, pharisaical display of good works, And he sees everyone else getting the reward, so he'll say, Lord, where's my reward? And Christ will say, right there. That's it. They have their reward. They have the praise of men. There's your reward. He'll probably say, this stinking pin? This little fake gold pin's my reward? Yeah. Because that's what you boasted of. I hope it didn't take place. He went on to leave this world some years ago. I hope he repented. Secret almsgiving and secret prayer, God rewards. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. When you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Now I've met Christians praying in the corner of streets. Hopefully they weren't doing it to be seen. Maybe they just needed to do it. Verily I say unto you, again, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Do you have a prayer closet? Do you have a secret place to go and pray? And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We had a young man here in our fellowship some years ago. He said, Pastor Paul, I want to show you my secret place of prayer. I thought that was a bit odd. All right. And then I found out, I think he showed you, Ed, the secret place of prayer. And other people, he showed his secret place of prayer, so now it wasn't a secret place of prayer anymore, right? Hopefully he found a different place. Go into your closet and shut the door. Pray in secret, and your Heavenly Father will reward you openly. And pray in faith. We read in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Many people believe that God exists. They believe in a God. But they believe to the point where they can pray earnestly so that he rewards them. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know God exists, you believe it, so do the devils. But do you seek him? Do you seek him earnestly for those rewards? God rewards his servants. The Lord rewards those who do his will, who say with Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. If you can't say that, you're not a servant of God. Maybe you say it, but you don't do it, you don't mean it. You're not a servant of God. But if you are, Lord, your will be done in my life. You're his servant. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so getting back to that innkeeper, and the Samaritan said, whatsoever you spend, when I return, I will repay. We, the innkeepers, who are in charge of nursing wounded sinners back to health after they come to know Jesus Christ, are to do whatever is necessary heartily as unto the Lord, as if we were the ones taking down the body of Christ from the cross and find him still breathing. Do it unto the Lord. Do it unto him, whatever you do. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. So the innkeeper was thinking, well, you know, I think this guy here that was wounded, I think I heard of him. He's pretty wealthy. So maybe if I take care of him, when he's better, he'll give me, you know, a good payment. He'll reward me. Hoping for nothing again, then your reward shall be great. Do we want the rewards that men can give us? Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He said, how can you believe, seeing that you seek honor one from another and not the honor that comes from God alone. You don't want to be rewarded by man unless God so orchestrated it. Don't seek the rewards of men. Don't seek the praise of men. Don't seek the honor of this world. Seek the honor that comes from God only. And great will be your reward. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Who does God reward? Proverbs 13:11. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself. But he who reveres the commandments will be rewarded. Whoever honors the word, whoever obeys the word, whoever cherishes the word. It's said of the prophet Samuel, and he was probably one of the godliest men in the Old Testament, and he never let one of God's words fall to the ground. That when God spoke, he was out there catching it. Okay? Like a professional outfielder. God spoke, I'm going to catch that word. Didn't let one word fall to the ground. Those who honor God's word will be rewarded. And the Lord Jesus rewards faithfulness. 1 Samuel 26:23. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Be thou faithful unto death, and you shall receive the crown of life. That's a reward. That's a reward. Given by his grace, a crown of life, which we read in the Bible, the elders took their crowns and they cast them at the feet of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And we will do that too. All our rewards that we receive will be because God is gracious to us, because of his mercy. And we will cast our crowns at his feet and say, worthy is the Lamb. But I kind of think I know what he will do with those crowns. He'll give them back to us. He's not going to just put those crowns on our head so we lay them at his feet and they'll go crownless. No, he's going to give them back to us, I'm pretty sure. Let's go back to the innkeeper for a moment. To all Christians, all born-again Christians. What if the innkeeper did not care for that wounded man? What if he was too busy to bother with that wounded man? What if he was just too lazy to get up when the man was moaning and groaning to change his bandages or cover his trembling body? What if he was too lazy? What if the innkeeper just let him die? There are Christians like that. We don't really care for those who are wounded by sin. We're too busy, too lazy. Just let them die. They deserve it. Yeah. So the innkeeper, if the innkeeper didn't care, was too busy, was too lazy, just let him die, well, that innkeeper would also be rewarded by Christ. But not with a crown. Not with heaven. Not with God's praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. How can the Lord say that if the innkeeper... To the innkeeper, if the innkeeper was not loving, how could he say, well done? The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, Alexander the coppersmith, the metal worker, in some translations, did me much evil. The Lord will reward him according to his works with damnation, with condemnation, if he did not repent. God also rewards the proud doer, the Bible says. He resists the proud. God rewards the evil. He rewards the sinner who doesn't repent. He rewards them too. Therefore, read in Hebrews chapter 2, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense or payment of reward. Every transgression, every act of disobedience will receive a just payment of reward. Then he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And God will not award us negatively for our sins. He will remember those sins no more, the Bible says. So how shall we escape, according to Hebrews? By not neglecting this great salvation that is offered us through Jesus Christ. By giving more earnest heed to the things which we hear and hear today. By not letting God's word slip away. Not becoming forgetful hearers. As the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul said to them numerous times, know ye not, or have you forgotten that you are temples of the Holy Ghost? How shall we escape? There's one way. By faith believing, of sin repenting, of self-denying, of the narrow road traveling, and of faith overcoming. This is how we escape. I'm going to end with a quote from William Gurnall, who wrote The Christian in Complete Armor, and then with the scripture. Bid or invite faith, your faith, to look through the keyhole of God's promises and have your faith tell you what it sees laid up there for him that overcomes. Invite it to listen and tell you whether it cannot hear the shout of those crowned believers as of those that are dividing the spoil and receiving the reward of all their services and the reward of all their sufferings here on earth. Thanks be to God, said the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we escape? By giving heed to this great salvation, to giving heed to the words of Jesus. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, fellow innkeepers, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, that is your labor of love, is not in vain in the Lord. Fellow innkeepers, let us take care of those who are brought to our attention. Let us love them. Going to close with a hymn and then prayer. Our hymn is a hymn we haven't sung here in maybe 40, 50 years. So you may not know it. Number 670 in the book, please stand with me. Make me a blessing. Number 670, make me a blessing. To someone today. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing, out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing,
O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. We'll trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. Give as 'twas given to you in your name. Love as the Master loved you. Helpless or helper indeed, unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
So to the sheep on the right hand, those who loved, those who showed compassion to strangers, to enemies, then shall He say to them, come into your reward. Insomuch as you've done it unto me, unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. To the goats, He will say to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's been said that God did not prepare hell for people. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But the goats will go there, those who did not show compassion. Oh, that we be filled with compassion. Let's pray now and then be dismissed. Benediction, scripture. Father, your word is clear that you reward both the righteous and the unrighteous. We are made righteous through Jesus Christ. And we are not made righteous through Christ so that we could live unrighteously, but live righteously. And do as you command us. You are a generous, generous Savior. And you have so much laid up in store for us. May we walk worthy of your calling. May we do as Jesus said, and set our affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And our benediction, scripture is from James. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is pure religion. This is the only religion that God accepts. The pure. To visit the fatherless and the widows, but also to keep yourself unspotted from the world. God bless you. Keep you.